אתם עם SBS בעברית.
Shalom Australia. On Tuesday, the cabinet voted to tighten the national lockdown, closing all schools and non-essential businesses and activities after health ministry recommendations that this was the only way to control the rampage of the coronavirus. Education Minister Yoav Gallant, who had strongly opposed the schools' closures and claimed repeatedly that the education system was not the source of serious outbreaks, finally agreed to shutting down all schools. New restrictions came into effect on Friday, and police have been instructed to be more vigilant in enforcing the regulations. As of last night, more than 7,000 fines had been issued for people being more than 1 kilometre from their homes. The current lockdown will last at least 2 weeks. Police officers who allowed a mass wedding to go ahead in Beitar Elite a week ago have been summoned for a hearing on their conduct. The announcement came after a photo circulated on social media showing an officer bowing as he received a blessing during the event, surrounded by unmasked Hasidic revelers. While Israel continues to lead the world in coronavirus vaccinations per capita, data showed on Wednesday that we've now passed the United States in new daily coronavirus cases per million people on a 7-day average. The spread of COVID-19 is on record highs in many countries, in part due to new, more infectious mutated strains first identified in the UK and South Africa. The Health Ministry said yesterday that 4 cases of the highly contagious South African coronavirus strain had been identified in Israel, and the British strain is spreading. Head of the Coronavirus Task Force, Professor Nachman Ash, told ministers early in the week that 30 people with the strain had managed to infect 189. While infections soar, the total number of Israelis inoculated has reached 1.7 million out of a population of 9.29 million, the highest vaccination rate in the world. The Health Ministry said more than 70% of Israelis over the age of 60 have now received the first shot. Despite the establishment of clinics for the Arab population of Jerusalem, only 20% of Palestinian East Jerusalem residents over the age of 60 have been vaccinated, compared to about 75% of Jews over 60 in the city as a whole. Similarly, most take advantage of immunization clinics in the Arab towns are residents of nearby Jewish towns. Demonstrations are still permitted during the lockdown, and thousands demonstrated last night outside Prime Minister Netanyahu's residence. Those protesting included the original group under the Crime Minister banner, disenchanted Likud members, ultra-Orthodox supporters of Ahuvia Sandak, a teenager who was killed in a police chase 2 weeks ago, protesters against violence against women, and complainants against the government's handling of the economic implications of the COVID-19 pandemic. In Holon, a 23-year-old was arrested for attacking protesters with pepper spray. Opposition leader Yair Lapid said on Wednesday night he was deeply saddened and shocked by the violence at the US Capitol after supporters of US President Donald Trump, egged on by the president himself, stormed the building. Defense Minister Benny Gantz said the images being broadcast from Washington hurt the heart of anyone who believes in democracy. Prime Minister Netanyahu, late on Thursday, condemned the storming of the Capitol, saying it was shameful and must be vigorously condemned. Jerusalem Affairs Minister Rafi Peretz, head of the right-wing Beit Yehudi party, said on Tuesday he would step down ahead of the new elections and leave politics. Peretz, in a statement, said Beit Yehudi needed new leadership, ending a short and rocky tenure marked by upheaval and controversy. The former IDF chief rabbi entered politics ahead of the April 2019 vote, replacing Naftali Bennett as head of Beit Yehudi, after the latter departed to form his new right party. In just under 2 years, he's led the party to 3 elections under various alliances with other nationalist parties and held 2 cabinet portfolios. On Wednesday, Yesh Atid MK Gadir Kamel Mireh, 36, announced she's taking a break from political life and won't run in the March elections. Kamel Mireh, a former journalist, is the first Druze woman to serve in Israel's parliament. She entered the Knesset after the April 2019 elections. On Wednesday, Social Equality Minister Merav Cohen, formerly of Kahol Levan, quit the Knesset a day after announcing that she is joining Yair Lapid's Yesh Atid ahead of the March elections. She was the latest in a number of MKs leaving Kahol Levan, including former Justice Minister Avi Nissenkorn, who more than a week ago announced that he will run for the March election in the new party of Tel Aviv Mayor Ron Huldai. Defence Minister Benny Gantz, chair of Kahol Levan, who took over the position of Justice Minister last week, said on Monday that he will not allow anyone under indictment to be involved in the ministry's affairs, comments directed to the Prime Minister. The Jerusalem District Court on Friday announced that a much-anticipated court hearing scheduled for this week in the corruption trial of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, which he and other defendants are required to attend, will be postponed indefinitely due to the country's nationwide lockdown. Nissenkorn tweeted, "As Justice Minister, I didn't cave, and I issued orders that kept the courts open during lockdowns as well. Democracy doesn't come to a stop during emergencies. Israelis deserve a leadership that can be trusted." Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu asked the Jerusalem District Court on Wednesday to delay the hearing. His lawyers said the Prime Minister was considering reviving his bid for parliamentary immunity. The Prime Minister's defence team had asked for more time to respond to Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit's acknowledgement that he had not authorised the criminal probes against the Premier in writing. Netanyahu's lawyers have argued that the lack of written consent undermines the entire case and have called for the charges to be cancelled. The Attorney General, however, has said there's no legal requirement for the authorization to be in written form and that oral form is adequate. The IDF says it plans to knock down two floors of the building that were home to Mohammed Murkabkha, suspected of killing Esther Hogan in a terror attack last month. Kabcha was arrested shortly after Hogan's body was found outside the Tel Menasha settlement where she lives in the northern West Bank. He is suspected of carrying out the attack as a form of vengeance for the death of a security prisoner, Kamal Abdulwao, who died of cancer 6 weeks before. The IDF announced last Sunday that it had arrested several suspects in the West Bank for a rock-throwing attack earlier in the day that seriously injured Israeli Rivka Teitel while she was driving her car. The troops made the arrest in the West Bank village of near Nidham, north of Ramallah. A Palestinian man on Tuesday tried to carry out a stabbing attack in the West Bank amid rising violence in the area. Yesterday afternoon, there was an attempted car attack on soldiers in the West Bank. Tel Aviv-based Institute for National Security Studies presented their yearly analysis to President Reuven Rivlin on Wednesday. This was the first time that domestic schisms, or as they describe them, internal and multi-system dysfunction, have beaten out external threat risks to Israel's security. A potential war with Hezbollah and Iran developing a nuclear weapon remain the most significant threats facing Israel in the coming year. Internal conflicts and governmental dysfunction have become the next greatest danger facing the country, according to the think tank's assessment. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.